The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was in a religious order about 50 years ago, not quite that, but close to it, there was a priest who always said, after reading the gospel, the hard news of the Lord. He didn't say the gospel of the Lord. He said the hard news of the Lord. And it always struck me, yeah, he's right. You know, the gospel is hard news. It doesn't play into our, let's say, Western mentality, our middle-class sensibilities. It really challenges everything that maybe we live for in our country. And it should be challenging because we have Jesus, who is the perfect example of living according to the Spirit, not the flesh. And if we want to live according to the Spirit, we look at Jesus. Living according to the Spirit means more than simply coming to Mass, praying every day, adoring the Lord in adoration. It means our entire life, everything we do, has to focus on Jesus Christ and the will of the Lord. And in that first prayer that I said, which we call the Collect, it talked about the abasement of Jesus, the abasement. He was abased. That was God's intention, the Father's intention, and Jesus honored that will and was abased. When you think of basement, that's the lowest floor in a house. So the abasement of Jesus is all about really his being humiliated in the world, of being rejected by the world. Now that's really living in the Spirit. It means that we don't think about our fleshly needs. Now, we do, and we need to. We have to honor the body. We do need a certain amount of food and rest and water, etc. But everything else outside of that should have in some way a focus on living the gospel. So, for example, this can go both ways. Anybody going to Bob's after Mass? Aha! Okay. There are fathers of the church that would say there is a direct line from the altar of sacrifice to the table of the poor, not to a table in Bob's. although, if we are clever, we can use Bob's as a way of honoring that as the table of the poor. Invite a friend, invite a neighbor, somebody on the street. Literally, you say, hey, would you like to go to Bob's for breakfast this morning? And then what we're doing is we are, yes, providing for our own flesh, but we're also honoring the needs of other people. And so in a very clever, imaginative way, we can succeed at living according to the Spirit. But we have to look at our society, which is not about the Spirit. You know, one of the things Jesus said, and we hear it all the time, he said, do not store up treasure for yourselves. Do not store up treasure for yourselves. You know, he didn't say, well, if you want to take my advice, you know, don't worry about it. No, he says, don't. Well, I've got investments. Now, fortunately, they're already indicated who's going to get charities that are going to get them, one way or the other. So when I turn 70, I got to start taking money out. Well, I'm still going to give that right away to the charity. But I'm supposed to be living, trusting God, being faithful to God, and trusting that my needs will be met one way or the other, one way or the other. I mean, if I die, that's great. I'm ready, Lord. You know, beam me up. Beam me up. That's where the real treasure is. It's God. But in this life, we're supposed to be saying, how am I focusing on myself more than focusing on those I'm called to serve? And again, we have Jesus as the model. He is the model, and he says, follow me, meaning we can do what he did. He did not have investments. He didn't have property. He didn't have luggage. He depended, and this is very important, he depended on the compassion and love of people that he met. Now, in a world where Christianity is very muscular and powerful, that would probably be more the case than it is today, at least in the Western world that's very developed. What do? You know, we have our homes. We want them neat. We don't want just anybody coming in. If I do allow a stranger in, what might they do to me? They'll mess up the carpet. As opposed to, if we live more simply and abased in a sense of humility, we wouldn't care. We just wouldn't care. So what if there's dirt on the floor? If I'm serving my neighbor, if I'm doing what Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, which means giving everything over to the Lord, I will be living according to the way of the Spirit, the way of Jesus Christ. Now, there are individuals who do that, and we can find them everywhere. You know, it's too bad that we don't go in search of them or invite them to come forward and witness to us. You know, my witness, you know, in a sense, I'm a professional when it comes to religion, right? I'm professional. Now, don't necessarily follow me everywhere, but there are, you can follow me some places, okay? But there are your regular Bill and Mary that are in our pews who do take in strangers, not just for maybe a meal, but to live with them. There are people who are constantly looking to see who might benefit from my love and compassion. Or as I said, you know, say to someone, you know, I'm going to the store today, anything you need. Or inviting people in for a meal. Because all people in the West in particular, because of the breakdown in community, all people are hungering for community, for someone to notice them, to care for them and care about them. I hunger for that. I live alone. You know, that's not really particularly healthy. You know, I don't, the next bishop is going to get a lot of advice from all the priests of the diocese. But we need one another. And that's not to say, and this is where humility and abasement and putting up with stuff we don't want to put up with comes in. Whether you're living in a Trappist monastery or you're living in a household with children, it's not always going to be easy. It means sacrifice. It means humiliation, humility. It means compassion. But that's where it's at. And then when we talk about our investments, well, the big investment is heaven. When we love our neighbor, even unto death, we are investing in our real treasure, which is God, which is what heaven is all about. But so we live in the West, we see what's going on, and sadly, we church people get co-opted by the way of the world. It's just kind of natural and normal, and especially when we don't have that Christian community where we're constantly coming together and saying, what are you doing to follow the Lord? I've tried this. Have you tried that? I succeeded at that. I didn't succeed at this. What might we do together to go from the altar of sacrifice to the table of the poor? so that we can fulfill what Paul tells us we're supposed to be fulfilling, because through baptism we're called to live according to the Spirit. And in the first reading from Zechariah, we have the Savior coming into the town, not riding in a golden chariot, but on a donkey. And that's what Jesus did. So right there, there's that abasement. He is the King of the universe, and he's riding on an animal. Not a big animal, not a horse. That would have been very expensive. But a donkey, something very, very humble. But there is the call that we have from our faith to ask ourselves, who am I following? What are my values? What am I doing to live the life of the Spirit? And Jesus says, yes, come aside. I'll give you the rest you need. I'll give you the powers that you need. I'll give you whatever you need to fulfill the gospel mandate. So we don't have to worry about God's part in all of this. We have to worry, not worry, but work on our part. So as a community of believers, and that means all of us, we can't do it alone. We can't be in our own little silos. We have to constantly come together, get to know one another, help each person understand how they're called to be a leader, help people to understand their gifts, their talents, their charisms, work on those so that each week we go out and we try again to use what God has given us, so that we can be more and more like Jesus and live more and more according to the flesh. So as always, we're challenged. It is hard news. I mean, let's face it, we get into habits. We get into the comfort and convenience of what we own, what we're able to do. And every year we look forward to this, we look forward to that. In other words, we have control. We think we have control over our lives. But in fact, we don't. I think of Father Tim Horan, just retired, all set to go golfing. He loved golfing. He died recently, unexpectedly. So we belong to the Lord, and we're called to, just like Jesus, abase ourselves, humble ourselves. And again, what we're trying to do in our parish, what every parish is trying to do, is to say, we're a community. We depend on one another. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers, and it begins here, and then we take it out into the streets, into our neighborhoods, into areas that we may say, I don't want to go there. But if we do go there in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we will bring the great gifts of Christ himself. We will bear him into the world. So we have a lot of work to do. So as you go forth this week and you think about you're living in the Spirit, living in the flesh, where are you? Are you more tuned to the worldly way of doing things? Or are you more in tune with what Jesus wants you to do? And how are you fulfilling what Jesus wants us to do? And then again, what kind of a community do we want to grow into, to continue to grow into, to get better at being our brothers and our sisters' keepers? Looking out for one another, and then as a community, which will really have a lot more power than an individual, going out into the neighborhoods and the byways and the highways and saying, we're here for you. We're here for you. Yes, it's going to be sweaty, dirty work, but we're here for you. And in that way, we accomplish the life of the Spirit, not just in word, but in deed. So again, as you go forth, think about where you are. In terms of your journey, is there a little bit too much of a pull in terms of the flesh? You know, being comfortable, having things conveniently done for us? Or are we moving slowly towards the Spirit that has a muscle of its own that must be exercised so that we can be strong? And then again, think of what the fathers of the church said 1,500 years ago. We're supposed to be thinking that the altar of sacrifice is supposed to always connect us to the table of the poor. And is there a connection in our lives? And I'm not just talking about, which is a good thing, donating food or money, that's good. But do we actually have a way of engaging with those people that we want to help? So lots of questions, as always. It's never going to end till we die. But the more we ask those questions and hold ourselves accountable, we're going to be moving more in that direction of Jesus Christ, who is the model of what we're supposed to be living in terms of the Spirit. So there's no question what we're supposed to look like, what we're supposed to do. It's simply a question of every day recommitting ourselves to what began in baptism when God brought us into His Spirit and invited us to abase ourselves, humble ourselves, as did His Son, so that we can fully serve our neighbors.